Happy Sabbath, brothers and sisters. That's the best worship I've had in a long, long time. Right there. Thank you so much. Thank you, Diana and Terry. Thank you to each one of you, kids and young men and women. I wasn't planning to talk to you at all about Adventist education, but I have to say a few words because that's really the center of my life and what I do outside of God and family. I didn't get the chance to go to an Adventist school for grades 1 to 6. Where I grew up, there was no kindergarten in Quebec in Canada, so no kindergarten at all. So I never went to kindergarten. But I started school in grade 1, and there was no Adventist school. My father was an Adventist pastor, but for the first 6 years of my life, I went to public school because there was no other option. And I want to tell you something. You can hear the name of God spoken in public school every single day, but it's spoken in a curse. When I finally got to go to Adventist Christian schools, I did for the rest of my life, from grade 7 through university. I can tell you the marked difference between public school and between Adventist school. If I had not had the opportunity to go to Adventist schools, I wouldn't be standing here today, I can tell you that. I do not know where I'd be. I don't know if I'd be a Christian or an Adventist. But I'm quite absolutely sure I wouldn't be standing before you speaking this morning. It was because of that opportunity that I dedicated my life to serving God and following Him. And I want to tell you this morning, when I look at each one of these up here, that you all are making possible for them to have an Adventist Christian education. When we get to heaven and we walk through heaven's gates, there will be nothing better to have holding your hand than those young people that you're supporting today. Years ago, I saw a movie, Schindler's List. It was a horrible movie. But it struck me. What struck me about that movie, Schindler's List, was that this man saved, I don't know, scores of people, maybe hundreds of people from being killed by the Nazis in World War II because he had a factory. And in that factory, he would tell the Nazi German leaders in his area, he'd say, "I've got to have that man if you want me to produce what I need to produce in my factory. I've got to have him." And so instead of putting that man on the train to the death camps, the Nazis would send that Jew to his factory. And then he'd say, "That lady is indispensable to my operation. I've got to have her." And so over the years that World War II went on, he saved probably hundreds of people from being murdered. And what struck me in the movie, though, was the end. He's sitting at his desk after the war's over and the Nazis are defeated. And I remember him looking down at his wrist, and he had a watch on. And he looked at that watch and he said, "Why didn't I sell that watch and use that money to save one more?" To save one more. I do know when we get to heaven, all of our stuff is not going with us. I hope that I have spent my last nickel in God's service before I get up there. I don't want it in the bank. I don't want it in a bunch of stuff that I own that is going to burn here on this earth. I want it in those kids. So when you get there, I know God's going to say to each one of us, "Welcome to heaven." And then I have the feeling that somebody's going to come up behind you and tap you on the shoulder. And you're going to turn around and you're going to say, "Do I know you?" You don't recognize them. And they're going to say, "Well, you won't remember, but because of that $10 you put in the offering plate to support the mission over in India, that $10 went into some literature of which I got a piece and I read. And I chose to follow." Or it's going to be one of these kids. and you won't recognize them anymore because they're not going to be like that. But they're going to say to you, if it wasn't for you supporting me through school all those years, I never would have made the decision to follow Jesus and be with him. I'm glad to see the Hershers. We haven't seen each other for quite a while. The last time I was here worshiping in your church was, I'm guessing, 12 to 15 years ago. And the quartet that I sing in came and sang and gave testimonies for your church service, and we went to your place for lunch and had a good time of food and fellowship. But the reason I mention that is you have some daughters that went to Milo with my daughters. And Milo Adventist Academy, just down this way a little bit, did a wonderful work for my three kids. And right now they're all choosing to follow God and serve him. Is there any guarantee that if a child goes to an Adventist school, they'll be saved in God's kingdom? No, there's no guarantee. Even God himself lost the bright and morning star in heaven. But Jesus told a story of the prodigal son for a reason. Everything you put in these kids' heads is in there. And even if they wander off out there some way, there's a chance later in the future that the Holy Spirit speaking to them says, turn around, go home. I heard Dad preach for years and years and years, since my dad was a pastor in Canada his whole life. And during that time, at some times we had four churches. And my dad would speak at one church in the morning. We'd hop in the car right after church. We'd eat the lunch my mother had prepared out of the Tupperware as we drove to the next church. And then Dad would preach again at that church in the afternoon. The next week, it was two different churches, the same thing, one in the morning, one in the afternoon. I heard a number of those sermons four times. That might have been God's plan to help stick it in this poor, thick Welsh head of mine so that it would get through and I'd make that decision that I'm going to follow him. Somewhere along the way, in Adventist schools, I made that decision. And I've stuck by it since then, that I'm going to follow him into his kingdom. Because of time, I'm not going to preach the sermon that I planned to preach to you today. There's nobody more important on God's list than you, children and young men and women. He made every single one of you individually different. Do you know, in the whole universe, and we have no idea how many billions and billions or trillions of beings there might be in God's universe, there's only one of you. Even if you're an identical twin or a quintuplet, every single one is different. God only made one of you. And God can't stand the idea, boys and girls, God can't stand the idea that he won't get to have you with him to share with through eternity. That's why he went to the cross and died for you. He loves you so much that that's the most precious thing in his mind, is that you will choose to follow him through eternity and be a part of his house, in his home, in his heaven, and then this earth again, and the earth made new. I want to leave you folks with one last thought. How soon is Jesus coming? I grew up as a young Adventist, like maybe some of you did. My parents just became Adventists before I was born. Didn't really know much of anything about God. My mother and my father were dating. Late teens, early 20s, somewhere in there. My father had a brother who was a coal porter. Anybody old enough to know what that is? Some of you know what a coal porter is. Now it's a literature evangelist. Someone who goes around and sells Christian books to help tell people about Jesus. Well, because of the influence of my father's cousin, Mom and Dad had been studying God's Word. Guess what church they found matched what was in God's Word? This one. The Seventh-day Adventist Church. What they read in the Bible was the same thing that this church taught and lives and believes. And so Mom and Dad became newly converted Seventh-day Adventist Christians. And not too long after that, I was born. In between there, my father went to college and became a minister. So they were very young Christians when I was born. And I grew up hearing that we needed to finish the work so we could go home. Any of you heard that? Been a part of that your whole life? Finish the work so we can go home. And I'm this young, well, I grew up to be a teenager, like some I see here. And as I'm a teenager, I'm looking at the whole world and I'm saying to myself, how in the world can we ever tell everybody in this world about Jesus so we can go home? It seemed to me an overwhelming task when I was a young boy. How are you at math? I've come to know that it's not only far from overwhelming, but that it is so imminent that it could happen in less than a year. For every Seventh-day Adventist Christian, how many non-Seventh-day Adventist Christians are there in the world? See, when I was a teenager growing up, what I thought was that there are millions of people that I myself have got to go reach somehow, or else Jesus can't come back. Anybody sit down and do the math? I didn't till about 10 years ago. And I got out my calculator, and I said, okay, and I'll do it in today's numbers. There are about 7 billion people in the world, and there are somewhere 18, 19 million Seventh-day Adventists. And I looked at my calculator. I said, that can't be right. Because I had always heard about the power of if I told one person and they told 10 people who told 10 people who told 10 other people, there's 1,000 people right there that know Jesus. But I looked at my calculator and said, I better do it again. For every Seventh-day Adventist Christian today, there's only 300 and some odd people who are not Seventh-day Adventist Christians in this little world of ours. And since I was a young man, this little world has shrunk so much. It is so much smaller today through television, through internet, through all of those other methods that we have, through airplanes even. People by the millions are choosing to be Christians. Besides Seventh-day Adventists, there are millions upon millions upon millions of faithful Christians in other churches. How many people does that leave for you and me each to be responsible for? 100? 200? A very small number. God's message is going through this earth to the ends of this earth, even as we speak here this morning. You look at what's happening around you in the world, and you nod your head and you say, yeah, anytime. Anytime, Lord, this could be it. This could be it. So I'm convinced that in a very short time, Jesus can come. What he wants when he comes is not me with mansions of gold here on this earth, not me with fancy, important titles, not me with garages full of stuff that I don't need, and I have that. Keep pitching it out, Patty, and I keep trying to pare it down and pitch it out. But what God wants in between now and when we see him face to face is to make sure they're there. To make sure that the people that we can rub shoulders with every day, that we get an opportunity to just share the love of God with them. Not by pushing it down their throats, but by being the kind of Christian that is so attractive that they cannot help but want to know what you have. Yeah, God help me be that kind of witness for him. Soon and very soon, we're going to meet the King. Soon and very soon. The message I was going to talk to you about this morning, I'll share with you another time, called Thy Will Be Done. It's about learning, after I've chosen to follow Jesus, not to do my will, but somehow instead to do his will. Not my will, but thine be done. That's the learning part. So as we're in what I believe are the final hours and years, if even years, of Earth's history, let's do it God's way. Let's take whatever we have and whatever we are, put it in your hands right now. You just think, this is everything I have and everything I am, meaning the time and the talents God gave me. Now, can I completely give that over to him? Can I stretch out my arms and say, here, God, you take whatever I have, whatever I am, and use it in your service. One last thought. I read a statement that Mrs. White said, by sharing the gospel message to the world, it is within our power to hasten his coming. Do you realize that? That actually by something you do, you can hasten his coming. It will come more quickly than otherwise it would have. And certainly having schools for our children is one of those things. Because God asked us to train them, not only so that they would know and love him, but so that they would be part of his mission here on this earth. That they would share God with others. We had all the principals together last week for principals meetings, and we didn't know it, but our conference president showed up and spoke to us for a few minutes, Al Reimke, and he said to all the principals, "I know that churches that have schools tend to flourish and grow, and churches that don't have schools wither and die." He said, "I know that." He said, "I've seen it time after time after time." So he told the principals, "What you're doing is building up God's work here in Oregon, because the churches who support schools are preparing people who will be the ones who will share the good news with those around them." I just want to thank each one of you personally, from myself. I'm your associate superintendent from the conference. I do that job not because it's a job. I do that because it's the love of my life. Seeing young people learn in our schools to know Jesus and be well prepared to go out into the world and represent him is what really means something to me in here. So to each one of you who've had a part in each one of these young people and seeing that they're educated here in your Adventist Christian school, I just say a personal thank you to you. You will know one day when you get to heaven what it did. Somewhere along the way, someone helped me actually in an Adventist school financially. And that has meant a lot to me for the rest of my life. And it will to these young people as well. Soon and very soon, we're going to see the King. Let's go, but not only by ourselves. Let's have our hands full of people that we've been able to share the good news of God with and go home together. Let's pray. Father God, you see your children in your house on your holy Sabbath day. We're bowed in reverence to you because you, God, are a righteous and a holy God, a just God, a forgiving and a compassionate God, a God who we love because you first loved us. Thank you so much for Jesus, for giving us a second chance to live with you through eternity, and then for calling us to be your partners in sharing that good news with the people that we meet every day, and in sharing the means that you give us with your work around the world, and also here locally at Sutherland Adventist Christian School. Lord, we want to serve you faithfully until the day we see you come, and we pray that it would be soon and very soon, because we've partnered with you to serve those around us. God, help us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.